Come?
I just wanted to start off with this question that was on the YouTube channel. It says, I can verbally chant Soham mantra instead of doing it mentally with breath because, due to my unhearthy heart, I feel much more comfortable chanting Soham verbally than mentally doing it with the breath. Second question is, after chanting Soham mantra 2 hours every day for 1 month, I started to hear the buzzing sound. Some call it nada or nahata sound, mainly in my left ear. So that is that normal? I read somewhere that buzzing should be heard from the right ear. So I got worried if I'm doing something wrong. And I just want to say, blasting this all away. This is body-based concepts. You know, mantra is supposed to erase concepts, not add additional concepts. This body knowledge, going out and researching and saying, am I doing it right? Is this happening correctly? These sort of things, please discard that. Because Maharaj cuts it very simply. He says, prior to body, there wasn't even a mantra. Did you come across with a mantra when you came across the body? No. Mantra is there because after long association with the body, there's a lot of illusory concepts that are believed. Because you're holding a body, these illusory concepts were added on, and you believe them. You believe them to be true. Even the spiritual books are not true. They're leading you to an understanding. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. You are that. Whether you know it or not, you're that. Like, you're not changing. There's no change. There's nothing. All of this illusion has appeared within you, and you have not changed. The entire world explodes, and 8 billion people are vaporized in an instant. It has no effect. Siddhar Mishra Maharaj said something very nice. I posted on Instagram of the one who is posing as an individual is always existing. The individual never existed. And those who understand this are blessed. Something like that. I don't know the exact words. Actually, let me get the exact words so I'm not misquoting. I don't want to misquote. Yeah, it says, to one who looks at the world as Brahman, it is Brahman. And to one who looks at it as the world, it is the world. It is not that the world is or that it is not. To the ignorant, it appears as world. To the intelligent, it appears as Brahman. There is never a time when the one who is the individual is not existing, nor is there any time when the individual is existing. Blessed is the one who understands this. Which leads us to our second question that someone wrote in. And I actually did have this concept. I entertained this concept of why can't I go back to the way it was and be like everybody else? Just ignorantly blissful, moving about. You know, now that I know myself in a real sense and I know that the world is illusion, I feel like there's something sucked out of life or that I've lost something. And this is a thought that comes because understand that this mind, these flow of thoughts are happening, but you don't identify with them because the key to that illusory thought is that you're separate and apart, existing as autonomous. And it's just this wrong perception that then this concept of, you know what? Okay, yes, everything is peaceful, everything is blissful. But like I see a family playing on the beach and they're blissfully unaware that the life is illusion. And they're just totally caught up in their little lives. And if you were to come up to them and ask them any questions at all, they're totally, completely convinced they're the body. But the presence that's holding those bodies, the same presence that's holding this body, is one and the same. There's no individuals. It's the same as if you lay down at sleep at night and you're dreaming a dream world. And within the dream, you sort of identify with the character and you say, oh my gosh, you know, I think this is a dream. Look at all these other people. They're having so much fun, blissfully unaware that this is a dream. And then you wake up in the wrong point of view, thinking that it knows something. And the ones that are, quote, ignorantly in bliss, they were one and the same, and it's finished. And just because you know yourself in a real sense, you can do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. These illusory body-based concepts, if you believe in them, they will take you down a rabbit hole. In my own experience, I talk about the Red Raksha necklace. When I came to India, I wore this Red Raksha necklace, and I had bought it from a store. I had done like 14 Mukhi and 5 Mukhi, all this. I had researched that these are the perfect combination of Mukhi to enhance the sense of presence that I was feeling. And it was supported by many books. Yes, Red Raksha beads, they're very good. And the 14 Mukhi, you know, this is how Jiva Mukta, you're on your path to self-realization, all this sort of thing. So when I came to India, I was quite proud. As a matter of fact, I do remember standing in the line at the airport, and I was in my dashiki, and I had my Red Raksha beads, and I thought to myself, I am on my way to India. Look at me in this line. I look so spiritual. I mean, I would say I look like a guru. This was coming through my head while I was in the line waiting to go see Maharaj. Yes, I was surrendered, but still there was this body-based impression of, my goodness, because you catch yourself a glimpse of you in the mirror and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, the long hair and the beard and the Red Raksha and all this. And I was like, yes, I look like a spiritual man.
Was like Jesus.
Yes, exactly. Well, my work was afraid that when I came back from my spiritual journey, I'd be having a staff and, you know, I'd always wear like flowing robes like Gandalf the Great or something. Because, and when I came back, I was shaved, short hair, just looking like a regular folk. Because I no longer had to pretend to be spiritual. I no longer had to cling to these spiritual concepts. And this Red Raksha, when I did take, I had mantra and I took it off. And actually, I don't think I had gotten mantra yet. I can't remember. It was the food poisoning, so I did have mantra. I took the Red Raksha beads off because I don't want any worldly support. This was my concept, again, because of Maharaj. I was saying, okay, I want no support. I'm going to walk on my own feet. He said, don't use walker or anything like this. Walker is worldly support. So you're no longer handicapped, is how he would say it. You throw this walker away. I threw the walker away. I had the food poisoning. The thought came, I have offended the God of my understanding, this powerful presence that I felt. I've offended it. I took this necklace off, and therefore I get this food poisoning. The thought came, put this back on right away. You've had this necklace now for 2 years. The presence has grown. You've offended it. You must put the necklace back on. However, thank you, Maharaj. I went to Maharaj, and I told him about this doubt. And to me, that doubt was very, very real. At the time, it seemed extremely important. What have I done? And Maharaj, I said, okay, if I put this back on, that's the crutch, and it'll never leave. It'll always be, no matter what happens on the spirituality, that this Rudraksh is the reason for the sense of presence, for the I am, for the sense of existence, for knowing myself in a real sense. And Maharaj agreed, and I did not put it back on. And as I can identify and feel for this person who's saying, mantra ringing in this ear, ringing in that ear, I'm worried. But truth, this is body knowledge. And if it's given undue attention, it grows because each concept creates a world. And we're creating all these worlds, you're getting lost and further and further and further away from your own selfless self. Just remain with your selfless self. I understand the pressure is so much, body knowledge wise, of am I doing this right? Is this okay? Have I offended this presence or Maharaj, or I haven't done bhajans as much times as I should. Okay, just forget all of that. Remain with your selfless self. Because when you remain with your selfless self, you and the master are one. Maharaj that you saw in body form, the same presence, and you remain with your selfless self, you are at the feet of the master, formlessly. All else, just discard, discard, discard.
I received an invitation to go to Brittany, France for a gathering. It's called the Sapta, when they all the Europeans and some Indians go to celebrate the Ranjit Maharaj. I am practically blind now. I can't even read a text hardly. And so I was looking into going, and there's a lot of fear about flying alone to France and then getting to an airport, which I'm unfamiliar with. And basically, it's the attachment to the body, and I don't, I mean, I feel that there are moments when I need to break out of it. So anyway, it's kind of like maybe your story with the beads around your neck, something like that. I don't know if I'm being called just to, like surrender completely and trust. I don't know if that's a concept of mine or if it's what. Actually, I mean, at a deeper level, I feel like this, I got to break out somehow. And I mean, even that is a thought or a concept, but you know what I'm saying. So
And
just sort of put that out there.
I know Maharaj would say, do what makes you happy. If you're getting this invitation, for one thing, it won't increase your spirituality
I
or
know, I know.
anything.
It won't give me anything right.
But it might, As you're holding this body, you go and you find happiness in this, it's okay. But to have any kind of, because in
Expectation.
reality, you're formless. All of this is occurring within your own self.
It's the dream.
And so, as Maharaj says, that there's no need for the tourism. And I'm not saying this is specific tourism, because I understand it's, going and celebrating Ranjit Maharaj. But it should be done spontaneously, and it should provide you with happiness. It's not, if you're having issues, and these are physical body issues, that's absolutely
Yes.
correct. If you can't see, then there are limitations to the body. And therefore, it's almost egoistic to say, okay, I'm going to force this body to do something that it is
Correct.
unable to do.
Correct.
Which Maharaj, very beautifully, because of my bad leg, everybody was sitting cross-legged in the ashram on the floor. He got me a chair and he told me, he said, we're sitting in this chair. It's no problem. It has nothing to do. Oh, I'm getting less spirituality because I'm not crossing legs and I'm not obeying like the customs or whatever. Because it would be reverse if I was to try to sit on the floor and be very uncomfortable, but say, I am doing this. I'm sitting on the floor because of my spirituality. But this is, again, the doership is so impressed. It's like the people when he went to One Circle and the lady was saying about the mantra that she was, or the type of Vipassana meditation. And she kept hammering Maharaj, oh, Vipassana, Vipassana, it's so wonderful, Vipassana, Vipassana. And he said, listen, okay, it's egoistic meditation. I am sitting here doing some Vipassana meditation to feel something. Rather than I'm sitting with mantra, and then eventually I hear mantra running naturally through the body, and I'm erasing illusory concepts, and it's not I'm doing the mantra. In the beginning, yes, it's I'm doing the mantra. But then the mantra slowly and silently and permanently erases this idea of one doing the mantra. And the mantra is just accept yourself as self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. The fire that was covered with the ash is free. So, in your case, with the eyesight, if you were to make this strenuous effort, you're doing this. The sense of doership would not be possible to say, I'm not doing, unless it flows spontaneously in the moment. I talk about the trip to India, spontaneous. I was reading Selfless Self. I had the bhajans in my ear, and I just walked right up to the mailbox. I had no idea that the passport was in there or anything. Just walked right up, picked up the passport. Oh, look at this. My passport is ready. It was mailed to me. And the same with the trip to India. It was okay. What do I do next? I get in this line, and then this line goes here, and then I get this stamped, and then I go through security, and then I go here, and then I wait over here, and then I'm here and here. But it all flowed. When the scenes are appearing and disappearing before you, you know that you're not creating a local identification and holding on to it as I. Another good example is when Maharaj was getting sick and his Mahasamadhi. When I first heard that he was getting sick, I too had an impression of I should go to India. Like I want to see Maharaj before he leaves the body. This is very important. And then it happened so fast that there was not possibility to make arrangements. You know, I was told he was sick. He did all these videos and everything of like a vigil, you know, for the master. And within just this couple of days, I was on WhatsApp and it came that he's no longer in body form. And yet everything that happened then, you know, Alex, a devotee, was texting me through WhatsApp and he was saying, you know, this is this, and I was with him in the last moments. And even the funeral pyre, when they put a stick on, he said, I'll put one on for you. So whether this body or that body, the intention is there through formlessness, and an activity spontaneously arises. And I was able to put a log on the pyre through the form of Alex.
So you can push yourself thinking that you're dealing with body attachment. So you can go against that and push yourself, make the effort, and maybe you can break out of that. Or what I hear you saying is that it happens spontaneously, and when it does, there's a sense of certainty. Is that correct?
Yes, the spontaneous action in the moment where the next scene is you just getting your passport or getting the ticket or something, and there's no, it's just a flow. There's nothing, because what's as Sri Ramana Maharshi says, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, no matter how hard you try to prevent it. Whatever's not going to happen is not going to happen, no matter how hard you try to make it happen. So the best thing is just to be still, be quiet, and see. But yeah, the egoistic sense, I understand trying to get rid of body attachment, but that comes naturally by remaining with your own selfless self. You don't have to get rid of body attachment, because the you that's trying to get rid of body attachment is the just subtly wrong identification with a body. There is no body attachment. The phenomenal cannot affect reality. Just an appearance, just like in a dream. No matter what's being done in the dream, no matter how amazing it seems, or how anything, or like this person was saying, you know, oh, in the dream, now I know I'm dreaming. And I look at all the other characters and they're having so much fun, blissfully unaware that it's a dream. But when the dream is over, it's over. And it wasn't true. The mirage. Until the deer sticks his nose in the sand and comes up with no water, the deer believes that there's water. Or the dog that goes into the circus house mirrors and sees this dog and gets very violent with this dog and is barking, 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 and just barks himself crazy until it's finally his owner takes him away. He truly believes that there is a bad dog in this place bothering me.
I remember the title of a book once. It was at Walden's bookstore. It was a Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. So sometimes I say, my level of courage is not the greatest. I really isn't. So I'm thinking maybe I should face that and just go ahead. But again, it's like it's back and forth. The mind goes one way, then it goes the other way, back and forth. It's like a wavering mind.
Mantra. Because following the mind is a recipe for disaster. The mind is like the yellow brick road that's leading you through Oz. And you were always home.
Dorothy.
Because they said, "Oh, Dorothy, you were always here. You always had the power." And yet the whole yellow brick road is the imaginary journey. And because we're identified with a body, we truly believe that somehow this spiritual journey that we're growing or that we're somehow advancing or progressing, and it's not true. The best progress is to remain with your selfless self. This just I without anything, subtle sense of presence. The knower of the sense of presence, all concepts just collapse. Can't words. Thinking about birth, death, thinking about having to overcome fear. The only fear really to overcome is the conviction that you're a body. Because of long association with the body, you truly believe that you're a body in a world, but you're not. You never were. You never can be. There's really nothing to overcome. And once you know yourself in a real sense, that conviction sets in, and then all you want is to remain with your own selfless self, then all these concepts are blasted away. Again, going to India. Because the spirituality, we call it within the illusory world, the sattva guna, was going crazy. There was rudraksh and beads and hair and beard and all this because there was this forceful effort. Oh, this sense of presence. And I want to worship it in every way possible. I mean, sattva just took complete, which was nice. But after knowing yourself in a real sense, even sattva, although it's very beautiful that you feel like, oh, so spiritual. Good spiritual thoughts, so much peace, Satchidananda. However, even this goes. With conviction, I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. The five elements, the gunas, have nothing to do with me. You're formless.
There's the idea of giving back, like to do an expression of gratitude, but that can be a thought too. Unless it comes spontaneously.
Yeah, again, in the selfless self-devotion, you may see this body performing all sorts of different activities, and you don't take the sense of doership because you know that you're formless, and this body is just doing what it is going to do. Or if still even a little bit of identification with body, you can say, thank you, Master, that this is happening. Thank you, Master. It's by your power. And this I do a lot, actually, is like, oh, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Even for silly things like lunch. I order from Wingstop, and Wingstop is so delicious. And it just hits the spot. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Master. This was such a delicious lunch. Coming back at night, and there's a parking space where there might not have been because usually nighttime it's a little bit full. Thank you, Master. This is an excellent spot. Because there's no taking doership. It's not, ooh, look, I got the great spot. Or, oh, I'm doing this great thing. Even when my manager says, John, you got a great review. You did this, you did that, this and this. Internally, it's thank you, Master. Because prior to seeing Maharaj, my job was in a very hard, terrible place, actually. And balancing life happens naturally as you know yourself in a real sense. You're no longer chasing illusion, not trying to grasp and get anything out of anything or progress or nothing. You still buy your food and go shopping, still go to the job. As Maharaj says nicely, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. Rent or mortgage is still owed, whether you're spiritual or not. This body form needs a place to have a roof and such. Even though you're more like the space in the room, you're holding this body. So while you're holding this body, do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibilities. I think Maharaj says, like, stay on the firing line. Don't be like spiritual and hiding off in the caves or constantly going on spiritual retreats or, trying to escape.
This would
Because
be
it,
something
go
I
ahead.
don't want to do, kind of, in a way. I don't, like I feel a resistance to doing it only because of the fear. And so it's like get out of the cave kind of a thing. Not
Okay.
for me. I'm not sure. But again, I don't know if I have the physical and mental stamina or the strength of will to do that. So those are questions, are all body questions, and maybe just let it be.